Welcome to the Homemakers Club podcast. The Homemakers Club is a sisterhood of women who value the old-fashioned ways and traditions of making a house a home. As you listen in each week to conversation between myself and a fellow homemaker, it is my hope that you'll feel as though we are old friends and you are stopping by my home for a long-standing weekly tradition of sweet tea and sweet conversation. As good old friends do, we will celebrate the simplicities of ordinary days and come alongside one another to navigate the joys and hardships of homemaking. It is my prayer that when we say our goodbyes at the end of each episode, you leave with a heart that is enriched and filled with provision, so that when you tie your apron strings each morning, you are joyfully ready to create a beautiful and fruitful life within your home. Grab a cup of tea and I'll meet you at the kitchen table. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Homemakers Club podcast. I am so grateful to be here again, having sweet conversations with fellow homemakers. It just feels so perfect with spring here and new life and new beginnings happening all around us. And so it is lovely to have my friend Alex join me. You've heard her on previous episodes.
Hello.
We can find Alex on Instagram at Love Daphne May. So Alex, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, my friend. Always an honor and a joy to chat with you.
I feel the same way. We haven't done the podcast, obviously, for quite some time. I think the last episode that was live was in May. And so it's been a little while since you've joined me, and I know you've had some life updates. So I would love for you to give us a little story about where you're at right now in your journey of homemaking and in family.
Yeah. Well, I've got five little ones. I had four last time I chatted with you. So our little newest arrival, Clover, joined us 8 weeks ago in February, which was just so amazing. She was born on her due date at home, right into my husband's hands. It was just our family here and it was wonderful. So we're just like, praise God over and over again, to him be the glory for it all. So we are just soaking up her sweet little self. And speaking of new life, just welcoming, we've had two new baby doll lambs born in the last like 3 days, which is amazing. So we have a little farm here in upstate South Carolina. And so we've got our baby doll sheep and they're lambing. We've got chicks and, you know, all the good little seedlings up in the greenhouse to go in the ground this weekend. And yeah, that is what we are just all about, and homeschooling through it all and loving the Lord. So
that's sweet. It's just so wonderful to see new beginnings and new life around us after the long winter's rest.
It really is.
It's like just this beautiful, hopeful life all around us.
The seasons are just so beautifully, created. So I'm so thankful.
I know you and I've had conversation just throughout, as being friends and making friends throughout the opportunity on the Homemakers Club. So I know that you and I both had quite the interesting season last year, and really the timeliness of both of our events within our personal lives were actually within a matter of a couple weeks. And so I'd love for you to kind of invite us into that journey with you. I know it was hard. I know the thing that I went through was very hard, but so much beauty comes from ashes. And then we're talking about rest and everything. So I would love for you to share with us. I know it's a little bit of a vulnerable story, but I'd love for you to invite us into that.
Yeah, you're so right. We were kind of both experiencing this like kind of heartache and this invitation really to lean even further into just trusting the Lord and, you know, what reevaluating that idea of home and what that means for us in our healing process. But yeah, last February, so I got pregnant and we were so excited. And it sadly ended in miscarriage, which was just the most heartbreaking thing I'd ever experienced before. It was so, so hard. So I always just, I feel for women who are going through that and just the heartbreak that that brings. And I feel like it was just, it was so hard, but I felt the Lord's presence through it all. So just beautifully, you know, interwoven into all of that, just that invitation to surrender. You know, I just kept hearing him tell me, just surrender this whole kind of process that you're trying to control. Just surrender, because his timing is perfect and beautiful. And, you know, he brings beauty from the ashes, like you said. And so, you know, because of his grace and his mercy, we were able to conceive just, you know, about like 6 weeks after that loss, which was so hard. But then we had our little Clover, which was such a blessing and just such a rainbow after the storm. So it was just such a blessing, and we're just so thankful for her. So I know that there's, gosh, everybody has, you know, either they're currently going through a hard situation, or maybe they're right on the other side of it. But it really is just so important to just lean into that trust and that surrender, and know that, you know, he's there every step of the way. So
he really
is. We're just so grateful for her.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful that he provided something through your faith in him, knowing that all was going to be well, even through such an emotionally and physically painful experience. Yeah. During that season, when you experienced the loss and until you conceived Sweet Clover, what did that look like for you as far as the surrendering and in finding peace and rest within your home? How did you cope through that? Your role as a homemaker doesn't stop, and you're a wife and a mom and a business owner. You have a lot going on. And sometimes when things like this happen, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, whatever it may be, and we experience a hardship, our roles don't stop. And like we've been talking about, there's so much beauty that comes from these trying times. But I'd love to kind of hear how you walked through those 6 weeks of just such an emotional journey.
Right. I mean, it is true, like you said, like it doesn't, everybody still has to eat, and we still have to, you know, pick up and do laundry and all of these things. But for me, in reality, we had, you know, we have this beautiful community here that offered meals, and they offered so many things, and I knew they would come help if that was truly what I needed. But I think for me, the most healing happened when I just stepped into that role that I love of serving my family and being within my home that feels like such a safe haven for all of us, just such a haven of rest, that I think just really allowing myself to kind of, you know, fall right back into that was actually really healing for me. It kind of gives me that idea of there's like something bigger than just myself. You know, there's this bigger purpose of caring for my family. And that really is such a grand purpose. It really is. I think oftentimes as mothers and homemakers, we can lose sight of how grand that actually is, that we are kind of molding, you know, our children's childhood and our lives as mothers and our marriage and everything else. So I think that just getting back and, you know, cooking for my family, being in my kitchen is such my happy place. So it really was healing to be at home and be part of, you know, what makes my home run on a daily basis, just kind of leaning back into that space, which really just, you know, proved to me what an important responsibility it is for us to create that space of rest within our homes for everyone that that lives here, you know, not just ourselves, but for our children and our spouses to make sure that they also feel like this is a place that they can find rest and peace when they're feeling weary.
Mm-hmm. I love that. During my experience last year, I almost lost my life. Literally, it was absolutely wild. But what happened was once I got home, I was out of state when it happened. So I was in the hospital there, lost a lot of blood, almost went into cardiac arrest, all the things. Came home, had to fly home, which was a whole nother thing. Once I started getting literally like my life actually back, like once I started feeling better and was able to like get out of bed and just kind of start doing the dailiness of homemaking again, what I found was all those little things became like this sweet delicacy for me. Like it was so meaningful to turn on the music and light the candle, and it was almost like and cooking and using my hands and creating quiet moments of like intimate restorative beauty within my home and nourishing with the meals I was making. It became very restorative, and I was on the receiving end of all of that I try to create for my family. And so it gave me this newfound gratitude of it, because here I've spent 16 years trying to create this for everyone in my home, and I love it. Like what you were saying, like there's nothing more filling to me or fulfilling to me than creating beauty. And I love cooking and I love setting the table. I just love being home. But I really got to experience the restorative side to the things that I do within my home. And it gave me this new sense of gratitude. Because while I was the one creating it, it was incredibly impactful for me. Like there's nothing greater to me now, especially than home.
Right. Yeah. It's so vastly important for everybody. Yeah. That's part of our home, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. And then another thing that I found during that season of rest, and you know, we know that the Lord created seasons, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall, and each one has a purpose. And so during the last year, really, there was several months of like absolutely needing rest. Like I had to convince myself to stop setting my alarm in the morning and just let my body sleep, because there's so much purpose in rest. And in our winter is, you know, obviously a season of rest for ourselves and then also nature. And so there's so much purpose through each season. But through that season of rest and then becoming and being restored, I found this new love for presence and peace within my own heart. I mean, we've talked in other episodes about you can't water a garden from an empty well. And I knew that. Yeah. And back when we were talking about it in previous episodes before I got sick, I was kind of from a place of like, you need to create opportunities to give yourself life. So whether it's like reading books or creating beautiful scenes within your home so you continue to give. But what I've never experienced what I experienced last year health-wise when everything just came crashing down and I really, truly was put in a place of needing to rest. It is incredible how wonderful that is. But then also, like I was saying, the awareness of needing to be present, life just goes so much slower when you allow yourself to be fully present in what you are doing instead of letting it all get really busy and you're trying to do all the things all at once. And so that was a gift that I received, you know, some of that beauty from the ashes through last season of hardship.
Right. And that's so true. And just, I feel like I was just having this conversation with my oldest the other day of just how important it is to kind of create a rhythm within our days that allows for rest
as well, not just, you know, coming from a season like you and I, you know, having a season where we have to rest to heal and what that looks like within our homes. But then just because, like you just said, this past 8 weeks of my postpartum healing, I've really just surrendered to rest. I really have, probably more than I have in any other postpartum experience. And not because I felt bad, I actually felt really, really great. Like, probably had the best postpartum experience this time. But, you know, I contribute that to, or I attribute that to the rest that I was able to, you know, have. And I feel like it just made me even more aware of the times that I thought I was resting and I thought I was present. And I think we can get that confused with being physically present and being emotionally present. So when we have too many things going on in our lives and in our minds, you know, pulling our attention every which way, we're lacking that emotional presence, right, within our homes. And even if we have the physical presence that we are there, we're not emotionally present. And there's such a huge difference between the two. So, you know, resting physically is obviously very important for physical healing, but I think emotional rest and leaving space, you know, within our days to just be at home and, you know, doing the things that we love in these spaces that we love in a way that we are, you know, we're not on our phones or working, you know, making something beautiful with our hands, or we're talking with our children, or we're baking, or, you know, all of the above sometimes at once, usually, but how restful that can be in and of itself. It's that idea of simplicity and how, you know, how truly wonderful simplicity really is in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the availability that we have for the people that are entrusted in our care within our homes. If you create an atmosphere of availability because your whole emotional and spiritual being is at rest because you're being purposeful and intentional about, you know, the input you're having, how often you have input. I mean, it's easy. We carry around our phones probably more often than all of us would like. And so it's easy to do a quick grab and scroll or respond to emails or whatever it may be. When we have constant input, we have very little to give. So I've been trying, that's something that I've really been trying to do over the last several months, because I didn't have work, you know, when my thing happened, everything came to a screeching halt. And so I really did very little work over the year. And so I found like I didn't need to be on my phone, because I really wasn't posting on Instagram for the Homemakers Club. I didn't really have any emails coming in. The market kind of slowed, I mean, majorly everything just slowed down because I needed it to. And so I found that I didn't need to be on my phone unless it was like I wanted to talk with a friend or a family member. And so all of a sudden, I had this incredible amount of free time.
Yeah.
With very little input. And the input that I did choose to have was very intentional. And I really believe that the atmosphere of our home significantly changed because I was more available. I had a lot less distraction. And so the atmosphere had changed also, which was another, you know, awareness of the beauty from the ashes. And you're talking about over the last 8 weeks, you guys have really settled into this place of rest. And it sounds like it's been an enjoying opportunity for your family. Have you seen the impact of that atmosphere change in your home? Because not only are you resting and being present with sweet little baby Clover, but have you seen it influence anyone else in your home?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this has been something that has kind of gradually taken hold, like vastly over the past year, probably, where I've kind of just honed in on like offering one educational experience throughout the year, which, you know, we'll talk about later, and just not taking on a ton of shoots and things like that. So there is very little work that I I'm having to do and the work that I am doing. It's very intentional. And, you know, my family is definitely, I feel like just as it's, my family has grown and as my big kids are getting older and they require more when it comes to homeschooling. And, you know, every year we like grow our garden and all of these things. It's just something, the scale has to tip one way or, you know, or the other. And so it's just been tipped more and more into pouring that time into different areas in my family. And then this postpartum was just like the cherry on top of just purely sitting in bed, you know, playing. We didn't sit in bed for 8 weeks, but for a couple of weeks. And honestly, I thought at the beginning, I thought, oh my goodness, because my midwife was like, you know, try to stay in the bed for a week and around the bed for a week. And I thought, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to stay upstairs for a whole week and not go downstairs. But the week was over so quickly. And I was kind of like, oh, but can I just stay up here for another week?
This was wonderful. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah. It's really when we are so used to kind of going a lot, then, which we don't typically go a lot, but, you know, doing a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. even within our homes, and we have this kind of sudden halt, it takes a minute for us to kind of readjust, like, this is actually okay that I'm just still right now. This is productive in its own way, you know, to be still and to pray and to listen to where God is calling us. So I feel like it was just, you know, so many, it allowed for so many great conversations and just space to just be still and to talk to the kids about the importance of that as well. So they don't feel like they have to fill their time with so many things and not allow, you know, for their creativity and their dreams and their prayers to kind of, you know, come about as they are resting in stillness. So yeah, it's been such a sweet time. And I feel like if anything, it kind of was just like, okay, I want to slow down even more. You know, it was our very, very slow pace, but I want to slow down even more to where now, you know, we only leave the house, you know, two or three times a week even. And the rest of the time we're just at home and doing all the things that is so beautiful about being at home with the animals and the garden and just being even in our homes as well and baking and, you know, doing all of those things that are so wonderful and kind of afford us times of laughter and play and connection here together. So yeah, it's been super sweet.
It is really sweet. And those are the moments of home that we as homemakers care so much about. I think absolutely. We often get, you know, sidetracked by the idea that we have to have these to-do lists and do all the tasks and go, go, go. Even if we're not like leaving the home, I think a lot of times we feel like the only way we're really truly productive is if the floors are done, the laundry's done, you know, everything is orderly, which is important. I think there is great importance to have like a healthful, orderly home. There is significance there. However, when we're older and our children are grown and maybe we're grandparents, for me, I know, and I know a lot of homemakers that I've talked to would agree, that's not the top priority. So when we're older, I don't want to look back and say, and my children say, well, our home was really tidy, but it was stressful. Like, yeah, that is, that's the opposite of what I believe homemaking is. And so I love that you're talking about, you're still doing these things, but you can prioritize the home life first, exactly. And the stillness and the presence within the home, and then also do these tasks. And so how do you prioritize, you know, the homemaking and then the housekeeping? Like, how does that work in your home? And then I'd like to kind of touch on that as well with the entrepreneur part of it as well, because you also do run a business. But first kind of like, how do you walk us through how you prioritize home? And even more so now, because now you've really from last year's hard season to now with this beautiful, restful season that you're in, I would love to kind of see how you're navigating that so you can prioritize that sweet home life that we all care so much about.
Yeah. I mean, I think you said it when you said, when I look back, you know, or my children look back on their childhood, what do I want them to remember about home? And really the home that we create, that's our family culture that we're creating, that is going to be what they, that kind of propels our relationship with them as they become adults. And for me and my husband both, we talk about, you know, we want to create a family culture now within our home to where our children want to come back. Well, we never want them to leave, really.
Right.
We want them to be like, okay, we have, you know, we want to have this huge piece of property and say, okay, here's 5 acres for you and 5 acres for you, 5 acres for you. And we would love everybody kind of be, you know, have their own space, but be, but want to be close. And obviously I felt like if the Lord calls you to something else, of course we will support you and we'll probably come with you. And no, I'm just kidding, but I'm sort of kidding.
Sort of kidding.
Probably not kidding.
But it would be great if everything we did now created the opportunity where these sweet children want to be around their family.
Well, you know, the relationship and that culture within our homes, which is where we spend most of our time. If we are, you know, having fun and there's laughter and there's warmth and there's belonging and there's rest and there's all of these things, that will become synonymous with, you know, us as mothers and what they remember with their childhood. And so I feel like that is just something that I'm constantly thinking about when I'm, you know, thinking, okay, wow, this house, like just this morning, I was like, ooh, these floors, they need to be mopped. I'm not sure what happened. It might be coming in and out of the sheep pen all day long in the rain. That might have something to do with it. Maybe. It might. But, you know, that's something that they're going to remember. Like, remember when our sheep had lambs for the first time and they were so sweet and they were so cute, you know, and that's what I want them to remember. Not like, oh, you know, mama was freaking out because the floors were so dirty or anything like that. So I will mop them later and it'll be fine. But I want them to be able to prioritize like how things felt in a really positive way within our home. So I think that is just, you know, what takes precedence. But in a practical way, it looks like, you know, like this morning, my two little ones, while I was helping my older ones with some schoolwork, my two little ones were making like a giant, giant fort in the living room. So I was like, oh, okay, that's a big fort in the living room. But they know like, okay, let's clean this up before we have lunch, or let's clean this up before we move on to another activity. So, so it does, like, I think just in a practical way, we are picking up little messes throughout the day. You know, I always put my kitchen to bed at night, make sure it's nice and clean to wake up to in the morning. So we have clean dishes and everything else, getting, you know, laundry done. I'll either do it all in one day or I'll do one load a day, kind of goes back and forth depending on the week. But those are just sort of some like practical things that I would employ.
Well, and I think that what I love about what you're saying is what we're doing is generational work. You know, if we're trying so hard and caring so much about the lasting impressions that our homes have on our children, and if they have a beautiful experience growing up within our homes, because we're, you know, our top priority is like, it's not just today, it's having greater influence on their lives, then they're going to hopefully model that in their future relationship. And then when they have children, and so it's this beautiful opportunity to know how much value every day brings. And we have hard days, right? Like there's moments where you're like, wow, I really kind of wrecked today. And tomorrow's a new day. But I think if our priority every day and our intention every day is to know that what we're doing is so important and so beautiful and have those conversations and apologize when things go awry. Like we are so important in our sweet families. Like it is, it's just so impactful. And really in the last year, I've really come to even know how much more the little dailiness of our lives at home mean, because I, like I said, I got to be on the receiving end and you got to be on the receiving end of just the simplicity of everyday's moments, how nurturing mm-hmm. they can be. So I think just setting the priority of knowing like home is more important than house, right? So like I kind of have been grown in this awareness over the last year of like, and actually when I see it within the Homemakers Club, like on Instagram, when I see in stories or people's photos with toys on the floor and then a beautiful cake or something, I'm like, that is home. Like this sweet mama is baking this beautiful cake. Her children are playing all around her. I don't see a mess so much anymore. Right. I see like, oh, that is life in the home. Mm-hmm. Like that is what is so beautiful.
It's so true. It is so true. I mean, that is really what we'll remember, what they'll remember. It's that the days are long, but the years are short. It goes by in a flash.
Absolutely. So we're talking about priorities and how we set priorities within our homekeeping tasks amidst, you know, prioritizing home life and the healthfulness of everybody and the happiness of everybody. I'd like to kind of shift into the balance between work and home. So there's this common misconception that I've been seeing actually kind of come up more and more on social media is like, can I be a homemaker if I work? And I kind of smile because there's nothing in my whole soul that believes I, you know, home doesn't matter if you aren't there full time. Like that's just something that's kind of silly to me, but it makes me really sad because I think that a lot of people don't understand how influential their homes are and how restorative they can be, whether they have to work outside of the home for a few hours or they're home full time, or we, like you and I, we run businesses within our home. So we are working mothers, but we get to be home for a large majority of that time. So it creates this new kind of funny opportunity and learning of balance between work and home, especially for us when we're home full time. And so I'd love for you, I want to talk about your business and the sweet opportunity you're giving all these women with the Mother's Way. I'd love for you to tell us about the Mother's Way. And then kind of give us this insight as to how you balance work and home, because a lot of women are trying to figure out how to do that, because the way the world is, a lot of us do need to or want to contribute financially. And it's just like the Proverbs 31 woman. So here you are, this sweet Titus 2 woman. And I think so many women within the Homemakers Club are the women from Titus 2 that are pouring into other ladies. But the Proverbs 31 woman also worked, but she prioritized home, which is probably the most important. She prioritized home. And so we can do both.
Yeah.
So how do you balance work and home? And then I'd love for you to tell us about the Mother's Way.
Yeah, I think that it's really, that balance is really not thinking that the scale is going to be, you know, evenly balanced. It's going to be and so keeping it tipped towards our family and making sure that that is, you know, they are the priority. Our home and our family are the priority. And so for me, the way I do that is just knowing, you know, where my boundaries are, knowing how much I can say yes to, and then knowing when I have to say no, even if it's a really wonderful opportunity, sometimes it's just not the right time. And so I think we can say no to things like in a really gentle way that, you know, would hopefully invite that opportunity again in the right time, but maybe it's just not the right time right now. Because we know that our plate is already as full as we can have it be while still prioritizing our families. So I think just, you know, doing that and also making sure that when we are kind of in a space of quote unquote working, we are creating more than we're consuming. And so we're using that time really wisely for creation purposes, you know, whether it be physically, like actually doing things, emailing and stuff like that, or content creation or whatever it may be. And then just utilizing that free space, you know, within our daily rhythms to really just allow kind of that peace to overcome us, to allow ourselves to dream and to pray about direction and to have that space that I feel like is really important, especially kind of in the creative realm. We have to have rest in order to create something that's really from our hearts. And I feel like the more I pour myself into my family, the more I'm able to create from a really honest place. You know, even if it is for clients, I feel like I can kind of see them more clearly when I can see myself more clearly, and I can, you know, kind of pray for the eyes to see what I need to see in order to really bless them as much as I possibly can in that opportunity that I've been given. So
I love that you're talking about the intention of what we say yes to, because it's so easy to want to say yes to everything because everything might sound like a good idea. Like I think a lot of things are beautiful. I think a lot of opportunities could be really wonderful opportunities, but there's so much beauty that comes from being able to say no selectively. And I think that I've kind of learned this opportunity of like, if you say no and tell someone why, like say, I love this idea and maybe in the future, but right now I need to prioritize my time in my home. It maybe, and I don't know if this is like a hopeful idea or a way that I kind of like tell myself it's going to be, you know, like a optimistic way of thinking, but I feel like it almost gives permission to other people to prioritize their home as well by creating these boundaries or saying no and, you know, not doing work after a certain time. It's so countercultural. I think work has now worked itself into like every hour of every day into our lives because it's in our phones. Like we carry work with us.
Right.
It's easy to check our emails at 8 o'clock at night when we should be or could be spending time with our families. Like during dinners, like all of these things, work is, it has become the forefront. And so creating boundaries, and this is something I'm learning as I'm coming back into the Homemakers Club with the podcast, social media, the market is coming back, and then a really huge announcement coming in June. You are privy to it. You know it's coming, but it's so beautiful. But I'm learning. I'm like, wow, I really need to be incredibly intentional about when I allow work to work itself into my home life, because I don't want it to be all consuming, because then I don't have the opportunity to prioritize what I care the most about. So I love the boundaries, and I love that you're saying to be selective to yes or no, but think first about what you care most about and how that's going to influence your home. And the Proverbs 31 woman, she did that. She worked, she invested, she did all of these things, but home was number one.
Absolutely. Right. And there's that, like, it doesn't have to be, say no doesn't have to be this like negative thing. Like you were talking about, it could just be like a really gentle, transparent answer of, I don't feel like I could give you my best right now because I need to give that
to my family, but I hope that in the future, you know, we can make that work. So
tell us about, so I hinted, I kind of said like this, you have this beautiful thing that you do. We know you're a photographer, but the Titus II part of this is you love to pour into other women. You do that on social media. I'm a friend of yours, so I know you do it with me personally. So like you bless so many women, and I know it's a huge part of your heart. So I would love for you to tell us about the Mother's Way. It's so beautiful, and it's something that I know that the Homemakers Club women are going to be excited to hear about, because you're presenting them with a beautiful opportunity. And so tell us about the Mother's Way.
Oh, so the Mother's Way is just, it's such a blessing to me. It's just one of my favorite things that I get to be a part of in the year. So I've done it for the past 2 years. So the application's open just once a year. I only do it once a year. So I've done it the past 2 years, and it has just been, it's such an incredible experience for mothers who are photographers. Maybe they don't even have a photography business yet, but they would like to, kind of on the side, or they want to kind of pivot their business a bit and maybe diversify their income streams, utilizing their love for photography and also just, you know, content creation in general, in a really meaningful, encouraging way for other people. Because I think there is, I mean, obviously the Homemakers Club is such evidence of that. There's such a way to create beautiful, heartfelt, meaningful content that is so encouraging to others. And I feel so grateful to be, you know, a recipient of that and to be able to create that as well. So to kind of invite women in. So that the applications are going to open on Monday, and it's just a short application, but I do want to make sure that everybody that is part of the Mother's Way is going to get the most out of it. So it's just a short little application, and then we'll start in May. So we'll take a little break for June and July for summer vacation, but basically it's every month we'll have a one-on-one call. And it's just a small group. I only have about 7 to 10 ladies in the group, because that is just what feels like I can pour into that, you know, intimate of a group the most. And it also allows just all of them, all of us, to get to know one another on a really beautiful, deep level. So we do a one-on-one call every month. We do like a virtual talk and then a virtual check-in, where everybody can chat and kind of see where everybody's at on, you know, specific topics that we talk about. And, you know, my goal is to really just encourage these mothers to step into where, you know, where God is calling them and where they feel like it would be a blessing to their family financially, while also making sure that their family is the priority. Number one, you know, the priority. So it is that idea of, you know, this is the Mother's Way. This is how we do it.
So sweet. The women joining hands. And you know, I said the word countercultural a minute ago, yeah, but joining hands and saying, look, you can do this, and you can do this with home being first and foremost of importance. And I think that that's just so beautiful. And I think some really beautiful things happen when women and mothers and homemakers join hands and say, we can do both, but home can be first.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really what we're called to do anyways.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. We can do both, but we can, you know, make sure that our motherhood and our homemaker, you know, homemaking and everything else is the priority. And honestly, when we do that, it allows the other side, the business side of things to really flourish because it's almost like we're just allowing our full true hearts to take center stage in everything that we do. And we pour that intentionality, not just into our home and the time, you know, that we're spending doing things in our home, but within our businesses as well. It really carries on into our businesses and shows in a really beautiful way.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've tried to encourage women who message me about, you know, they work outside of the home every day and or part-time. And I say, listen, your role is incredibly important because you get to carry the light of home with you into the workforce. And and we get to carry that. So if we're prioritizing our home life, it's like a shiny light. Like we can talk about home and we can be proud of our homes and we can have those conversations, like we were saying, between our yeses and our nos with people. And it gives us beautiful permission of like, home is so valuable that when you're home, you could prioritize your presence and the atmosphere and intentionality and all of the things that we care the most about. You can do both, and you're carrying that light with you into your business and everyone that, you know, you're a photographer, so you have clients. I get to do it with the people, our team that are helping, you know, with the podcast and the big thing that's coming soon. Like, I get to carry that light with me in that it feels really beautiful and impactful in a different way than what my work does within my home.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's so true.
Well, thank you, Alex, so much for being just a woman with a golden heart. Love your Titus II ministry that you wholeheartedly believe in and pouring into other women and joining me on the podcast and sharing some of the hardship that you went through, but showing how much beauty comes from ashes. And I hope that all of our sweet women that are listening are filled with hope and provision from our conversation. So thank you.
Amen to that. Thank you, friend. I love you.
Love you too. Thank y'all for being here and for the work you are doing within your homes and sharing home with the world. I believe with my whole heart that every day, the more we share home and the art of homemaking, we are upholding the way in which home was intended to be, productive, fruitful, and beautiful. Though your days may seem ordinary, little by little, you are building something quite extraordinary. Keep up the good work, my friends. If you haven't already, I encourage you to join our sisterhood on Instagram at We Are The Homemakers for daily encouragement and fellowship. And of course, subscribe here as well. We Are The Homemakers, gathered for good. See y'all next week.